This is an SRN News special report, The Life of Billy Graham, a Servant of God. Here's SRN News correspondent Greg Clugston with a look back at the man and his ministry. Over the past half century, Billy Graham was the most well-known Christian evangelist in the world.
Peace will prevail and Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the day I'm looking forward to.
Graham preached the gospel to more people in live audiences than anyone else in history. Over 210 million people in more than 185 countries and territories. His influence reached far beyond the church, touching the lives of millions of people in untold ways. He was a regular fixture on the Gallup organization's most admired polls. A friend to American presidents and foreign heads of state, this country-born preacher traveled the world over with a single purpose, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Graham said, his one purpose in life is to help people find a personal relationship with God.
I cannot argue anybody into the kingdom. I cannot debate anybody into the kingdom. There has to be the preparation of the Holy Spirit. The preparations of the heart are the Spirit, says the Scripture.
Billy Graham was born William Franklin Graham, Jr. in 1918 near Charlotte, North Carolina. He was the oldest of four children. Billy's father was a successful farmer and businessman. Both of his parents were Christians, and the family attended church on a regular basis. At the age of 16, Billy committed his life to Christ after attending a series of revival meetings held by a traveling evangelist. During his college days, Billy was baptized at a Baptist church and began his lifelong membership in the Southern Baptist Convention. He earned a theology degree at Florida Bible Institute and, from 1940 to 1943, attended Wheaton College in Illinois, where he not only graduated with a bachelor's degree in anthropology, but met his future wife, Ruth Bell. After pastoring his first and only church, Graham joined Youth for Christ, speaking at youth gatherings in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. He was seen as a rising young evangelist and eventually began to hold his own rallies. In addition to his preaching duties, Graham served as president of Northwestern Schools in Minneapolis for 5 years. During this period, he gathered several key members of his evangelistic team, including popular soloist George Beverly Shea and choir director and master of ceremonies Cliff Barrows, members who would stay with his ministry for decades. Thanks to his engaging personality, his creative style, and his unquestionable passion for preaching the gospel, Graham became well known within the country's evangelical and fundamentalist circles.
The crime, the fraud, the immorality, sex perversion, all of these things are gripping our society right now. And unless there's a reversal, we could see God's judgment fall upon our country and fall upon the world.
In 1949, a crusade in Los Angeles thrust Billy Graham into national prominence. The landmark evangelistic campaign in L.A. drew record crowds, 350,000 people. It lasted 7 weeks and resulted in the dramatic conversion of many people, including a prominent disc jockey. He hosted rallies in major U.S. cities and expanded his preaching stops to Africa, Asia, South America, and Europe. Graham's name recognition grew rapidly thanks to media coverage. In November 1950, Graham turned to the broadcast medium for mass evangelism. He launched the Hour of Decision radio broadcasts, still heard on hundreds of radio stations nationwide.
And today, again, I'd like to welcome you to the Hour of Decision with Billy Graham.
In 1951, Hour of Decision broadcasts were expanded to television, and Graham formed a film ministry later called Worldwide Pictures. Graham founded Christianity Today magazine in 1955. He also authored a syndicated newspaper column, and his ministry published Decision magazine. In the 1980s and 90s, television was used to reach increasingly larger populations, culminating in the 1996 Global World Missions satellite broadcast, with an estimated potential audience of 2.5 billion people.
And in my travels around the world, but especially in the United States, I find that the great Achilles heel in the church today is the lack of prayer. We don't pray enough, and we don't pray with the right attitude toward in our hearts.
Graham wrote more than 24 books, all of which became top sellers, including his 1997 autobiography, Just As I Am. Throughout his career, Graham was honored in both the secular and religious arenas. Recognitions ranged from the Congressional Gold Medal to the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion. He was regularly listed by the Gallup organization as one of the 10 most admired men in the world. Unlike some popular American preachers, Billy Graham and his ministry were never subject to scandal. T.W. Wilson, a childhood friend of Graham's and a ministry associate, said Graham adhered to a strict code of conduct.
Billy will not be alone in a room with his secretary or ride alone in a car with his secretary because, you know, he takes the scripture literally. It didn't say avoid evil. It said avoid the appearance of evil.
Wilson went on to say that Graham was always concerned about protecting his testimony. Despite his widespread appeal, Graham had his critics. According to the Billy Graham Center archives at Wheaton College, the evangelist offended different people for different reasons. Fundamentalists accused him of ecumenical evangelism that corrupted the gospel message. Liberal Christians often wrote that Graham didn't care enough for helping to ease social problems. Some attacked the Crusades as mechanical spectacles, and others felt he was too close to world leaders. This was especially true in the 1970s because of Graham's friendship with Richard Nixon, who was then entangled in the Watergate scandal. Billy Graham had a long-lasting and unique relationship with U.S. presidents. His White House connection dates back to President Truman. He viewed his contact with presidents as an important ministry opportunity.
It has made me very conscious of responsibility because I felt I would never leave the office of one of them without having witnessed to them about Christ.
In a 1998 Oval Office interview with SRN News, President Clinton discussed the value of his relationship with the evangelist.
He's a very great man, but he has great feeling for other people. He doesn't have an arrogant bone in his body. He has a great sympathy for the human condition, and he lives his Christian testimony probably as well as anyone I've ever known.
The Reverend Billy Graham participated in 9 presidential inaugural activities dating back to 1965. His final such appearance was in January 2005 for the second inauguration of President George W. Bush.
Our Father and our God, we thank you that the last event of this historic week is a time of worship, a time to hear your word, to pray, and to declare our dependence on you. We acknowledge your divine help in the selection of our nation's leaders throughout our history. And we believe that in your providence, you've granted a second term of office to our president, George W. Bush.
In 1992, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association announced that Graham had Parkinson's disease and would be easing back on his busy schedule.
I have a few things that are wrong with me physically, which comes to as you get older.
In 2000, Graham's son Franklin was appointed CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And in the summer of 2005, Billy Graham held the last of his 417 crusades.
And tonight, I want to say it's great to be back in New York.
For 3 days, the evangelist preached before huge crowds in Flushing Meadows, New York.
Are you ready to die? Whether you're a young person here today or an old person like me, you'd better decide for Christ here and now.
During the New York City rally, Graham acknowledged that this would be his last official evangelistic crusade.
I'm getting too old to do this. This may be the last time I'll have an opportunity to preach the gospel to an audience like this and to have Cliff Barrows here and George Beverly Shea.
Graham was preceded in death by his wife of 64 years. Ruth died in June 2007 following a long illness. Her death came just a few weeks after the formal dedication of the Billy Graham Library, which was attended by former Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Carter. Billy and Ruth Graham had 3 daughters, 2 sons, 19 grandchildren, and numerous great-grandchildren. For more than 50 years, they made their home in the mountains of North Carolina. In November 2013, Graham celebrated his 95th birthday with the release of another book and a 30-minute TV broadcast called My Hope America.
There is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
From the age of 16, when he became a Christian at a revival meeting, until the final day of his life, Billy Graham dedicated himself to God and to the preaching of the gospel.
I don't expect to live forever, and I'm ready to go to heaven. In fact, I'm looking forward to it any day.
This has been an SRN News special report, The Life of Billy Graham.
a servant of God.